Welcome to the CEN show, the voice of the world community. Tonight is our second anniversary show. We've been doing this for 2 years, and I'm elated with gratitude for all the people who came on the show and provided us with excellent information. We had all type of guests. On our website, we have over 200 and maybe about 205, six videos. On YouTube, we have a little less. I think it's 202 right now. This is going to make 203. So I'm going to introduce all the panelists here this evening. And then we're going to hear from the panelists. So I'm going to start off with, well, let me introduce myself. I didn't introduce myself. I'm Ross Key Mascagni. I'm the host of this show. And I'm going to start off with Professor Rob. Professor Ayman Ra is one of the main reasons I started this platform, podcast platform, because when I looked on YouTube and put his name in, he wasn't there, and he's been very instrumental in many things happening in the county of Los Angeles, mainly Compton and Long Beach, and been a professor for over 30 years at Cal State Long Beach, councilman in the city of Compton. Board of Trustees at Compton College, Transfer Center Director at Compton College, had programs, a tutoring program at Compton College for years, free, with a lot of Cal State Long Beach students tutoring, and Compton Unified School District Board member, teacher in Compton Unified, Linwood Unified, just numerous things. Have programs in the city of Compton for youth, adults, elderly people, just a tremendous amount of things that he have done. And he inspired me to become an educator and a father, grandfather, just one of the best mentors I could ever have, and counselor. This is, I can't say enough about Professor Ayman Ra. Then we have Brother Joe Hembrick. I worked with Joe Hembrick for many years in Compton Unified School District. When I started until he retired, we worked together a lot. He's another person that we call him the historian. Matter of fact, him and Professor Ra has the podcast Conscious Quarter. And that's another one of our podcasts. And he's has a wealth of information, and he tell it like he see it and not afraid to do it. And we really appreciate him parting the good information that he does, historical information. Then we have I'm gonna mention the two sisters that's on the panel tonight. They're team members. We have Sister Linda Shorter. She's in Florida. And Linda has brought us many great guests here on both podcasts, mainly Conscious Corner, but she has made a great contribution. She has a wealth of knowledge, just a lot of good things she does. I know, I think Professor Rod told me she has a museum, and she'll tell us more about that. And she also has information about inventors of Black people in, I think, publications, but she'll tell us more when she talked to us a little bit here. But yeah, she's been a tremendous help with our efforts here with our podcast. Then we have Sister Make It Happen. another colleague of mine's worked with her for maybe about 5 to 6 years, maybe longer than that, on the high school campus in Compton. And she's another young lady that has a wealth of knowledge. She's a counselor and she's a businesswoman, just a wonderful person. And so, she makes a great contribution. She's been on, she's going to be on soon. I think the 2nd week of January to part us with some information. She had a real good turnout on views on YouTube when she did her last show. And just a wonderful individual. I'm glad she's around and helping us out. Then we got my big brother, Brother Mashinda. He's in Louisiana. He grew up in Compton with us, and he has a wealth of knowledge. He's another person that mentored me and inspired me to finish school in college, and we talk often about life in general, and he gives great advice, and I can't say enough about him. He's like a big brother, and he's known me since I was born. So that's how long we've known each other, and it's been 50 some years. So just he's an educator also, a computer whiz. What else did he do? He's an administrator right now at a junior college in Louisiana. Just a lot of great things that he does. And I'm blessed to be around all these good people and learning a lot from them. And it's just a wonderful thing that we're doing here, in my opinion, giving all this good information and, spending time doing it without being paid. None of us are being paid. And so it's wonderful. And I'm going to keep doing this until I can't do it. And then I want to be able to pass it on to somebody else when I'm not able to do it. So we're going to go to the panel now. And I'm going to start with Sister Linda. Sister Linda, you have anything to say this evening for us?
Well, just a little. Well, listen. Of course, when you said all of that, I'm gonna have to say something. And
Okay.
are we waiting for the guy, Mr. Ronnie first? And
Yeah,
if
I
we don't,
guess for this evening, yes.
okay. Well, but I can. You want me to keep talking? Because
Yeah, we just if you want to say anything about your experience being affiliated with the Community Education Network.
okay, I can do that. Of course, I'm gonna take that opportunity and do that because I've been affiliated with Community, well, Conscious Corner more so than the other panel, like you said. And I'm Linda Shorter, and I'm here in Florida, lived in California, Atlanta, and anywhere else, because I always say the whole world is ours. And I'm an educator, like on a different level, because I'm a curator of Black inventions, because that's what I specialize with. Is helping people to learn about the inventions that have helped the whole world, not just where I live or where you live, but throughout the United States and all over the world. And I love talking about it anytime and any chance that I get an opportunity to do so. And you mentioned something about the museum, and yes, that is on the table for me. We're inventing, creating a museum. But because the hurricane, because I live in Florida, kind of threw us in a big loop, but the repairs are being done and that's still on the table for further, and I'll bring it up probably the beginning of next year in 2023. And the Conscious Corner, just being a part of it for me, has helped me with my growth and development. Because when I get on, sometimes I speak and sometimes I listen. Most of the time I like to listen because I like to learn and then I like to share when I hear truth. And because of my travels, I've been able to meet a lot of people and network on tons of levels, had all type of titles, but to me, I'm a sister friend to brothers and to sisters because we have to help each other as we all grow together and learn together. And I know each one, teach one is the title, and that's what we can all do. We can each one teach one, either whether youth or elderly, because we learn, and it's part of us that God gave us to learn is to help others. And this is what I try to do and who I am every day. In the conscious corner, I am so glad it's been 2 years, even though I started after the second year, this year, earlier this year. And already it has me excited because I'm always telling everybody I meet, you have to get on because it's somewhere, something you can learn and grow from. And if you can't, jump in and bring somebody else on.
Appreciate you, Sister Linda.
Oh, and happy anniversary. That's how I should have said happy anniversary. That's all.
That's all good.
This is
Yeah.
so cool.
Yes, it is. I agree with you. Appreciate you. Okay, sister, make it happen. Making it
All right. This is
happen.
making it happen here. Greetings, family. Greetings, everyone. Hope all is well. And yes, happy anniversary. Congratulations. This was a great thing that you thought about and manifested, and it's so beautiful. The connections that you've made, and I mean, it's global, it's worldwide, West Side, it's like everything. You got everywhere. You got people on here from everywhere. You said over 200 episodes. Wow. That's something, and I'm really just happy to be part of it and to have know you, to come across you through our elder. We share an elder. I didn't go to Cal State Long Beach as an undergrad or a graduate, but I did work on the campus with the Upward Bound program. So I did some outreach there with some Dr. Elston and some folks on campus reaching out into the community and Compton community. Been in the community for a long time doing work. I went to Cal State LA, so my elders are brothers of your elder, and so we do the get down with the get down, and we make it happen wherever we at. And that's what Black Women for Wellness is about, and that's how that has come about. And this is just beautiful. So congratulations. I'm honored. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of us for making the time and showing up for ourselves. And something that our children and our grandchildren can see, because this is their world. They're going to be able to look up their grandfather's name and see all that he's done in this world of digital and social media and all of that. So thank you. I'm honored. And look forward to what's coming up next year and how money works, because that's one of the curriculums that I will be sharing and teaching with the community. So peace and blessings, family, Hotep, and assalamu alaikum.
Okay. Hey.
All right. Thanks a lot, sister, making it happen. Brother Mashenda.
Yeah, greetings. Congratulations on a job well done, Russell Key and everyone else on the panel. I like to, I agree with the two sisters that just spoke, everything they said, and I appreciate them wholeheartedly, Brother Hembrick and of course Professor Ra as well for their contributions. I've learned a lot, over the last couple of years, and I remember when you got started before you formalize it into becoming a community education network. But again, is there some echo?
Hold on a second, Brother Mashenda. Linda, you have
Can you hear me?
Two going and step
yeah,
one.
Go ahead.
I got one.
Linda?
Mm-hmm.
Hold on a second, Brother Mashenda. Linda. She has two of them going. I'm just going to mute both of them. Okay, go ahead, brother.
And then just off. Okay. Ronnie's here, Rashiki.
Yeah, we're going to get to Ronnie. All right, Brother Machenda, you want to continue? I was out for a minute.
Yeah, I'll just sum it up. You know, like to say congratulations on a job well done. And I'm sure everybody on the panel appreciates the platform. Something I look forward to on Wednesdays, and also look forward to the Conference Corner on Monday nights. You know, I can think of other things to do. I'm a busy person, you know, but this is something that I put into my schedule and try to make it as much as I can. So, again, thank you for providing the platform. Look forward to a good 2023, and you guys have a blessed day.
Appreciate you, Brother Machenda. Thanks for being a part of this. Okay, Brother Joe.
Yes, evening, family. I don't know. Appreciating the platform. Happy anniversary to everyone. This platform has given me something to do on a regular since I retired from education. You know, my calling is waking up the walking dead, getting a level of consciousness with our people, those that are willing to hear. After studying most of the elders, Dr. Ben, Dr. Clark, John Jackson, Chenkot Diop, J.A. Rogers, and others, you know, trying to present the truth of our history that's been grossly distorted, and trying to get our people to see where we can make our way back, you know, from, you know, where we are now. You know, many think, you know, we made a lot of progress anyway, but I'm talking about when we kind of rule the world, so to speak. You know, most of our people can't even conceive that we did that at one time. So I just try to open eyes, especially with this, you know, capitalistic system that we live in. Most of our people don't even know the stuff that makes the capital all comes from the motherland. You know, at one time it was us, but all the natural resources that come from there that kind of revolutionized the world, and all these others are, you know, profiting from it except African people. So anyway, that's just what I do. I thoroughly enjoyed it when I was a teacher. Tried to instill it in other teachers when I was an administrator. But anyway, I just love the opportunity to get on there and teach from time to time because I sure miss it. And anyway, I'm going to back on up and let Brother Ronnie come on so he can do his thing. Anyway, peace, family.
Okay, we're going to get to Brother Ronnie. I'm going to introduce him after Professor Ra. And thanks a lot, Henry, for being a part of it.
I'm gonna defer to Ronnie, and I you know, I'd like to do that if you don't mind. So
that's cool. Yeah, that'll be good. So the guest this evening for our anniversary show is a Brother Ronnie Roberts. He's a retired educator, and when you come on here, you continue educating. So I met Ronnie back in 2001. When I went from Compton Unified to Long Beach Unified, and we worked in the same program. And he's a brother that he just tells it straight like it is. He's highly intelligent, well-read, great observer of everything. And I learned a lot from him, real good friend, very giving. At one point, He gave me so much clothes, I had to give some of it out. You know, he's a very giving person too. He has a lot of clothes and tennis shoes. But yeah, Ronnie's a real good brother. And when he comes on here, he gets a lot of attention. He gets a lot of views on YouTube. So he has a real good information to share with us. So, Brother Ronnie, appreciate you being here. I'm going to let you take over for a while and present the information you want to bring to us.
Wow. I don't know what to say after an introduction of that note. And certainly humbled by Professor Rod deferring to me. I'm certainly not that important a person in my own mind, but also in my own mind, I'm the most important person in the world, as each one of us should feel about each other. I am looking at the commonalities of the three of us that are on screen at this point. Other than being obviously African-American and educators, we have to have a fair amount of nerve and, I guess, ego and some ubers to be able to come on a forum such as this and share our views with whomever may be listening and how many other people may be listening. Our views are our perceptions and the way we were educated. The fact that we're all educated is obviously a factor. The fact that we're willing to share our views and beliefs, knowing full well that the audience that we're trying to reach probably is not even listening. But if we can just get a few people of note and significance to take note that, you know, here's some brothers that are rationally trying to educate and bring people up by the bootstraps and to make them aware of the situation, to make them aware, particularly from a Black man's perspective, that let's just take the image of slavery out of our minds. That doesn't define us. You know, we're ex-kings, we're ex-doctors, we're ex-even ministers, lawyers, accountants. You know, our society was not as primitive as folks want to make us out to be, because all math and higher learning emanated from the motherland, which is Africa, and was copied by Europeans. Going on, one of the highlights of things that have been going on is two of our most famous entertainers. One of them being Kanye West, or Ye, however he calls himself, and the other entertainer I'm speaking of is Kyrie Irving, the brilliant basketball player. They have both run into the man from a financial standpoint for making anti-Semitic statements. Who's the judge, that type thing? Well, the people in power obviously are the judge. The people who control the media, the people who disseminate the news, and the people who own the news mediums. What is the most popular news channel in America today? The obvious answer to that is Fox News, the most important and the most influential news channel in the world today, and the number one watched news in the world. So Fox News is speaking to, say, half of America and speaking against half of America. Are they speaking to us? They're speaking only to their constituency. They're not speaking to us as people of color, except when they use us in cases like Herschel Walker. Now they want to promote Tim Scott to be the next Republican presidential candidate. He's not a very bad man. I've listened to some things he said. But I've also think we probably need Black Republicans, but real men and real statesmen and real scholars, not the buffoons like Herschel Walker. I have a certain amount of respect for Tim Scott. I have zero respect for a Clarence Thomas. Zero, I mean zero respect. Zero respect for Herschel Walker. But, you know, that's my take on it. I mean, that doesn't have to be the take. But I would guarantee you that that's the take that's predominant in most of Black America, and that's what we're talking about. This is the Community Education Network. We're trying to educate the people at large, but we're coming from an Afrocentric viewpoint. Am I right, Professor Ra and Rashid? Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're presenting our views from an Afrocentric standpoint. Now, let's talk about Africans and Jews. Jewish people have been persecuted, have been murdered, have been minimized, and but also have taken advantage of the fact that they're, one thing they have about them is they stick together. They say you take a black dollar and it flies out of our community quick, fast, and in a hurry. A Jewish dollar circulates inside this community many, 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 many times. Jews have traditionally, and when I say Jews, the Jewish people are not a monolithic society. They, not one person speaks for all Jews. There are very poor Jews in this country. Not all Jews are wealthy. Not all Jews are educated. Not all Jews are in positions of power. Let's get that straight, first of all. When I say Jews, I'm saying the Jews that are predominant in the news, the Jews that are controlling, and the Jews that have positions of power. In the Fortune 500, the top 25% of the Fortune 500 of the top 20 people are Jewish. There's no getting around that fact, particularly since the Jewish population in this country is so incredibly low, which is what, 8 million, 7 million, 900,000 Jews? 8 million Jews out of 350 million people. I mean, Jews are less than 20% of the black population in this country, but they have a disproportionate amount of wealth and power. A disproportionate amount of wealth and power. Now, is that through, considering they've been persecuted as much as black people to a degree, or even more in some cases, how did that happen? How did that come about? And how are so many of them accepted into society as they are? And for many, many, back in the Jim Crow days, when Republicans were the party that 90% of the blacks in this country were in, and we got to remember that Abraham Lincoln was a Republican himself, and blacks were overwhelmingly Republicans until the 40s, until the Dixiecrats from the South completely flipped things into the 50s. When I grew up in Oklahoma in the 50s and 60s, we had a complete Democratic government. The Speaker of the House was Carl Albert from Oklahoma. Both senators and all their congressmen were Democrats, but were they really Democrats in the traditional sense? They were kind of like Lyndon Johnson type Democrats or Dixiecrats. Lyndon Johnson being one of their own, he was responsible for the Civil Rights Act, getting that passed. I don't think he was all that much on board for it, him being a Dixiecrat himself, but he knew it was the only way to go to keep this country and to make this country as great as it possibly can be. Getting back to the premise that we're as strong as our weakest link, we got to pull up all of these people by the bootstraps. We do have to solve our racial problem, which is probably been America's biggest problem since its inception. This country was built on the backs of black labor and black free labor at that. And not only black labor, but there were a large number of indigenous servants, which are white people who they considered to be less than what they were. In many, many cases, Irish, Italians, and other ethnic groups. Well, make a long story short, getting back to Jews, the Kyrie Irving liked a film or documentary that was on Amazon. He got so much blowback and feedback from that. And the only reason he got that was that he wouldn't denounce the film. And I understand him not denouncing the film, but at least making an explanation for certain aspects of it, which were definitely anti-Semitic and were definitely pro-Hitler, who I don't know how anyone could equate him with anything but being a monster, period. But there are those who don't think so, primarily of the Caucasian persuasion, but in by any definition, Hitler was a monster. His problem was he didn't repudiate the film fast enough for the folks in power. Who is the commissioner of the National Basketball Association? He is a guy by the name of Adam Silver. Adam Silver is a Jewish man. It's an old saying that you don't bite your hand that feeds you. And while Adam Silver personally was probably horrified by what Kyrie said, he didn't take it from a personal standpoint because he's a businessman and he's a leader. he took it from a standpoint that what Kyrie was saying was lessening the brand, and the brand is the National Basketball Association. He knows that Kyrie is not anti-Semitic. The owner of the Nets knows that Kyrie is not anti-Semitic. But we all know that Kyrie is a different cat. He's kind of what you call a contrarian. He has some strong beliefs. He's not a particularly educated man. He went to Duke one semester before he matriculated to the NBA. Those guys usually take 9 to 12 hours to stay eligible. He's not an alumni of Duke. It's probably a question if he passed any classes at all. Those one and done guys, but that doesn't make him uneducated or not educated. But he gets his platform from the standpoint that he can dribble a basketball better than anybody's ever done in their life. He gets his platform from the fact that he is a tremendous basketball player, one of the greatest to ever play the game, quite frankly. And he gets his platform from the standpoint that he's a good-looking, reasonably intelligent Black man who his charitable contributions are just, he doesn't even get any credit for all of the things he's done, all of the money he's spread around this country, and to Native Americans, which his mother was a half Lakota, Sioux Lakota Indian, and died when he was 4 years old. So he's given a lot, he's done a lot for other people, but he's in his own head. He does things his way, and he can afford to do that because he's a multi-millionaire, has a fortune of like $90 million. He can walk away from the NBA. He can walk away from $10 million a year Nike contract. But, you know, was that a good wise decision he made? From the standpoint, if he had just walked that back earlier, and he walked back everything he said, if he had just come clean and said, hey, I made a mistake. I didn't really even look at the whole documentary, which he obviously didn't. And just say, hey, I agree with certain parts of it, but there are certain parts in it that I found aboard, hidden off the hook. But, you know, some of us, and I'm guilty of it, was talking to one of my mentors and one of my administrators in Long Beach about it just yesterday. You know, sometimes you can back us into a corner and we don't know how to appropriately de-escalate a situation, and we take it too far. And then, you know, once, you know, to stay employed, he had to walk it back. Else he'd never played. And that's what he does. Now, could he stand and not play in the NBA with $90 million in the bank and you 30 years old? Yeah, he doesn't have to play basketball. But that's what he does. That's who he is. And he owes it to his family and to those who are around him from a generational wealth standpoint to make as much money as he can, to make his brand as solid, and to be able to continue to give and to educate and to just be Kyrie, be who he is. So he pretty much walked his stuff back, which was the right thing to do. Was there some truth in what he said? Oh, of course. No question about it. There's Black Jews still living in this earth, still living in Africa. But to say that all Jews are Black or all Blacks are Jews is just... it ain't so. It's just not so. It's not historically so. Moving on beyond Kyrie, the things that are coming out of Kanye West's mouth, or Ye, whatever he's called, are just amazing. Is he able to say the things that he has because of his platform, because he's a musical genius, and because he has enough money and wealth that there's no accountability involved? Do we as Black men and we as educators, are we responsible for what we say while we were on the job? Certainly we were. Are we responsible for what we say now that we're in a not job-like forum and in a community forum? We can pretty much say what we want to say at this point, but if we go too far, YouTube is going to cut us off the line, right? Off air. We don't exist. So we're not famous people. We don't have 70 million followers like Kyrie did. We don't have 125 million followers like Ye does. With fame, with prosperity, goes a certain degree of responsibility. And you always have a responsibility as a human to not hurt other groups, particularly groups that have been beneficial to your cause and your racial ethnic makeup. And just from the standpoint and the fact that they are in power and in many cases, the man. You know, one of the things that I would tell my kids in school, which were mostly Black and Latino kids, working in alternative schools in the 6 years I taught in Tulsa were pretty much all Black kids, is that, guy, if you can't get along with us, guys here who love you and are trying to help you and look just like you, how do you think you're going to function in a larger society? You're not. There's no place for you. There are some rules that we all as men and as citizens and as human beings and as just darn right good people have to abide by and follow. And if we don't, there's consequences. And the consequences can go from civic or civil to criminal. Civil is when they take your money, like they've done with Kyrie. And like Kanye Ye went from being a billionaire overnight to having a fortune of only $400 million. We should be so lucky. Now, they are able to do this because of their lack of accountability and the fact that they have great wealth, extreme wealth. Just to have $1 million is a heck of a lot of money. But to have $400 million like Ye does and to have $90 million like Kyrie does, they are very wealthy individuals, very wealthy, and will continue to make money. Now, the people in power in the music industry and in Hollywood, as you two Californians already know, are Jewish people. The agents, the producers, the guys who have the studios, the studio heads, the guys who have the studios where the guys can go and record their music. All of those facilities are owned by the Hollywood elite, which is comprised significantly of Jewish people. Again, 25% of the Fortune 500, 20% richest people of Jewish descent. And there's 8 million Jews in this country. So our rappers, our singers, our soul singers, all of our actors, all of these people started at the bottom of the food chain and had to go up. They had to get agents. They had to get recording deals. They had to get contracts. Do you think that these folks that are handing out these contracts on these unknown but talented people are not going to make these contracts in their favor? Would you not if you were in that position of power? Absolutely. Now, it's up to you once you get or attain a certain amount of power and strength like Ye has to do the things like Prince did. Go buy your own masters. You do the thing like Dr. Dre did. Go negotiate to buy your own masters. Because when you start out at the bottom, you have to give up your artistic gifts to sign the contract to be able to present them to the world. That's just how the game goes. We had to go to college for 4 years and grind so we could be teachers. That's just, we had to pay those dues. Once you get to be teachers, you can expand in the other things. But you have to pay your dues. And this is what Ye is primarily talking about. The thing that really blew my mind about it, he has a beef, yeah. The contracts are weighted, you know, You're the one with the talent. You're the one that's coming up with the hit songs. But the medium that is projected in and what makes you rich is that these folks are distributing it to the mass population, which you didn't have the means and access to do. So you get your share of the pie. Then you start working on buying your own stuff and getting your own label and getting out of these contracts rather than bitching and crying about it. And he certainly has the money and the power to do just that. Buy your own damn masters. Get your own record company. Then, to make it even more so crazy, he starts calling out other billionaires. He calls out Beyonce, he calls out Jay-Z, he calls out Diddy, and says they're slaves to their Jewish masters. You think these billionaires are slaves to Jewish masters? The fuck, that's absurd. It's just absolutely absurd. It's like you're Ryan and Muscat and Rigo calling me out for doing the same thing that they're doing. Trying to just share our knowledge with others. It's then to top it off, he starts praising Hitler. Now, and I don't know. I don't understand that. I think his remarks are wrong. I think his remarks are anti-Semitic. Semitic. There's no doubt that Blacks migrated from Africa have Jewish in them. I've stated that earlier. But come on, man. Have some facts. Who anointed you as the master of all this knowledge in your way as the way? You know, the fact that he's gotten in bed with Donald Trump and Nikki Fuentes, white nationalists, repudiates any message and any hope of garnering support from Black people. You got a guy that's going to be your campaign manager that's a white nationalist? Are you insane? You embrace Trump? But you want us to support you? It's difficult for me. I don't have a problem with, you know, and it's not Jews that are controlling stuff. It's white folks. Now, are Jews white folks? That's the age-old question right there. If they came from Egypt or Israel, what they call it, that's Africa. Is it not? Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Africa. One of the things that the Africans, Gamal Nasser, what was his name? He used to be the president of Egypt. He made a famous statement that was just so mind-boggling to me that I'm trying to find that statement. He talked about Israel, you know, and the Jewish state. He said when the guys, which was taken away from them, we all know that because of the situation in Palestine, that it was literally taken away from them, their land. But it's like when they lost their land and they lost their country, they were people of color and then they came back white. One of the reasons they came back white is so many of them had migrated to the United States, a significant number. And during the Jim Crow period, because you don't know who a guy is Jewish or not. It's Jewish. Judaism is not, it really is an ethno-religious race. It's about religion and it's also about race. But and then we also know that there is no such thing as race. Race is a human construct. There's just one race in the world and that's the human race. Well, why are Jews so successful? Is one of my key questions. Initially, when the Jewish land was taken away from them, they were involved in Jews were involved in a wide range of activities. They were including agriculture and industrial production. That was all taken away from them when they lost their land. So what they ended up doing, because Jews were not permitted to own land, they were unable to engage in agriculture or the industrial sphere. So a small circle of professions remained for them. Actors, doctors, merchants, and money changers. They had already worked in this labor market. They had already dominated it. This is all they were left with, and they just jumped right in on it. This is all they could do. They couldn't be common laborers. They were always highly educated. They always kept their money to themselves. And they always contributed to minority causes. Jews were so instrumental in the funding of the Black Panthers. They were so instrumental in the funding of the National Association for the Advancement of Colored Peoples. They were so instrumental in the funding of SLIC and all of these, the Weathermen's organization, all of this funding was coming from Hollywood Jews. A lot of it was coming from them. Those three workers that were killed down there with the two Jewish boys and the black boy, Andrew Werner, the other two guys, they've always been at the forefront of the civil rights movement. They've always marched side by side with us. Have they taken advantage of us? Do they have stores in our communities preying on us and our weaknesses? Of course they do. As do the Caucasians, as do the Asians, and as do the blacks who can afford it. Of course they do. What are their advantages? They're always highly educated. They always keep their money together. We should be trying to emulate that to a degree. It's my opinion about that. You got to think of something about it. The average person during that period, during the medieval period, was illiterate. And Jews were always highly educated. Because it was a family tradition thing. You know, you and I as educators, we all know that education begins at home. It begins at home. My mom insisted that I read something every day. That made me the person that I am today. It made me curious about being educated. So while most of these medieval people were illiterate, on the average Jew during that same period was literate. He could read, write, and count, and taught his children to do the same. They also were strict adherents of Torah, or their religious thing that they did. And so they knew how to apply the laws of Torah to everyday life. As a result, these guys, their influence spread. So Jews were lending money even when they didn't have a country. They were lending money to countries, and then the countries would turn around and not pay them back, take more of their money, take their land, and kill them. So they've been persecuted for just being smart. Now, are they dishonest? Are they shady businessmen? All businessmen are. You look at the great wealth dynasties in this country, the Rockefellers, the Kennedys, the Vanderbilts, the Commodores. All those people were shaky. All those people had criminal-like tendencies. They were definitely greedy. They were definitely underpaying their workers. They were definitely anti-union. I just think that the Jews have done enough in this country, particularly for black folks, for us to be an ally of them. They're predominantly Democratic as we are. They're predominantly progressive as we are. We share mostly the same values. We share the same struggle. You know, are they tough in doing business? Hell yeah, they are. Are we tough? Hell yeah, we are. You want to see what people do with money and power? Take a look around the world. Take a look and see how countries are run. Say, if you reverse the script, you give us the money that the Jews have, and, you know, what will we do with it? Would we take advantage of our own people like we do in so many African countries? Would we do that? Would we be hard to deal with at the business table? Would we try to make contracts for these artists and entertainers that were definitely in our favor? Well, we got 80% of the money and they got a little 20%? Hell yeah. Anybody say anything about Apple and iTunes killing the music industry? No. Was Jews responsible for that? Hell no. They had some influence in it, but that's pretty white people. Because they own all the means of power and all the means of production. Bottom line. So I don't know. I don't have animosity toward anyone that's not trying to destroy me. I went to a Christmas party last evening at the Greens Country Club here in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. It was for my investment firm, Edward Jones. My investment advisor Bobby Abel gave me a personal call and said, I really, really would like it if you would come to the Christmas party, if you possibly can. Because they had a party earlier this summer that I missed it. My reluctance and the reason I didn't go to the summer was I just didn't feel like a number one, and I kind of figured that I'd be one, if not the only Black dude there. And while I'm not uncomfortable in that situation because I've been placed in it so many times as a result of my career in private industry, being the first Black accountant at Amoco Production in Tulsa, Oklahoma, I've been there before, but I don't know if I'm just want to deal with that now. And then thinking about the fact of where I'm at now, Oklahoma is a state that all 77 counties voted for Donald Trump. I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to a Christmas party with some probably fairly well-off people and some really wealthy people, because that's who has money in brokers' houses, like Edward Jones. And I got a little piece of money in there I got from the sale of my house that I put aside and said I'm going to play with it for 5 years and see what it does. At any rate, I walk in there and it's 120, 150 people, and I'm the only Black guy, and I look around and try to find me a friendly table to sit at, and there's no such thing. So I sit at the very first table as I got in the door and with two other couples. Fortunately for me, the two ladies were educators, were retired educators, so we had a commonality. But as I observed as the evening went along, we were talking about our kids and grandkids, the commonality of all peoples. We all kind of want the same thing, to raise our kids in a good environment, to be comfortable, to be free from illness and disease, and to prosper and to see that our kids prosper. We all want the same thing. I'm sitting in a room with 90%, I'm sure 90% of those 150 people were Trump supporters. But, you know, it was just like they were going out of the way to a degree to accommodate me, which I find not so okay with that. But then again, I do realize that I do present a totally different vibe for them. So I don't look like them, I talk like them. Nobody had the same type clothes I had on, my own personal swag, but some of them was just Black swag. But I just stood out like a sore thumb. But then again, that's what this country is about. We are strong because of our diversity. We need to find a way to bridge the gap with people that we don't agree with. That's the biggest problem in America right now. We need to reach out. We need to become whole, because we're not going to be as successful as we can be. And we're a very, very flawed place, but still the best place in this planet to live in. I'm convinced of that, with all of our flaws and all of our warts. We have enough people who want to do the right thing to keep the ones that don't in at bay. And because of demographics and because of the dying off of Trump world and MAGA world, this is going to be a better place for our kids. We may not see all of the improvements and things that happen. We've seen some, we've seen a lot in our lifetime, Brother Rob, I'm sure you can relate to that. Just the fact that three cats like you, Rigo, and I could get on this medium and espouse our thoughts and our ideas. We couldn't have done that when we were kids, Rob. We couldn't do it. We just couldn't happen. I never even saw white people much when I was a kid. Lived in a completely segregated community. Never went to school with a white kid. I had a white teacher till I got to college and was 18 years old. But never felt that my life was bad. In fact, it was good. I was held accountable. Now, unlike some of these other young men, Kanye West's grandfather was one of my heroes coming up as a kid, because Kanye West's mother went to Oklahoma City Douglas with me. She was a freshman when I was doing my senior year. I didn't even know her. I knew of her. I knew she was Poor Will Williams' daughter, but did I personally know her? No, she was a freshman. Yeah, seniors don't hang out with freshmen. I was probably more of a star at the school than she was. I'm sure I was, just because I was a senior and a man from that standpoint. And an athlete, and a scholar. But make a long story short, I think his grandfather would literally roll over in his grave if he saw what was coming out of that boy's mouth. He was one of the great civil rights leaders of our time. A lot of people don't know that. Now, Clara Luper probably is the most famous, one of the most famous civil rights people in this country, because Oklahoma City was second or third after North Carolina with the sit-in movement. And Brother Williams, Portwood Williams was the name, drove kids to the meetings, financed them, was behind the scenes support of hers, was out front when necessary. He ran a grocery store in Oklahoma City and also did some other business type activities. Just a wonderful, wonderful man. And his son, Portwood Jr., is one of my close friends, a guy that I see on a monthly basis. So, you know, and just being around him, we were playing cards with him with some other people the other night, and someone asked about him because he has pictures of Kanye in his house and in his garage, being his nephew. And he said, well, all you can do is just pray for him. You know, it's a tough situation, man. I don't know how to say it. I hate to be critical of another Black man, but I think that we as conscious and aware of Black men have to not necessarily be critical of them, but call them out on this stuff. Some of the things he says are so obviously true, but the praise of Hitler, the hanging out with the white nationalists, having anything to do with Donald John Trump, who I think is one of the most reprehensible characters to ever come up on the American scene. It's just disgusting to me. One of the things I've told many of these folks I've met down here as a liberal-leaning Black man, that I don't really have a problem with you being a Republican. I don't. Because if it was all Democrats, it'd be one screwed up country. But I got a problem with what you're supporting Donald Trump. Well, he does say a lot of stupid stuff. No, he does. Not only does he say a lot of stupid stuff, he does a lot of stupid stuff. And he does, and he's a racist. And when I say he's a racist, it's just not against Black people. He's a racist against anybody that doesn't have money or that doesn't agree with him, more so than that. Donald Trump has done more to harm Republicans than Democrats ever could even think about. He has destroyed more Republican careers than any Republican ever. He just ruined the election for him by propping up these posts of these election denying clowns. He's also done great harm to the country. What he's done to harm to the country is these federal judges that he's put in with these lifetime appointments. That kind of stuff can be erased over time, and it will be. But I just don't understand how a Black man could support a racist like that and have racist people in his organization. I don't get that. I don't get it at all. And I just repudiate that type of behavior 1,000%. I could go on and on, but
Ryan.
Yes, sir.
You mentioned that civil rights leader's name again.
Portwood Williams Sr. Portwood, P-O-R-T-W-O-O-D.
Okay.
He was that's Kanye's, Ye's grandfather.
Okay. Thanks.
I assure you he would be appalled. But there's nobody to check him. His dad lives in, I think, Columbia. His mom died years ago in L.A. at Cedar Sinai, really, from a plastic surgery procedure she was told not to do. And he thinks that the Jewish people killed his mama. Well, why did you take it to Cedar Sinai? Maybe because it's the best hospital in L.A.? Well, I don't know. Why did you have a Jewish agent? Maybe because you couldn't get another agent that wasn't Jewish? Why did you have a Jewish record producer, you know? And then you're going to blame it on these people for taking your mama? That's some I'm not a psychiatrist or a psychologist, but there's obviously a bunch of stuff going on now that's not addressed. Now, all three of us are cray-cray to a degree, but come on, man. Come on, man. You're not going to see me hanging, none of us hanging out with Nick Fuentes. Or trying to go have some dinner with Donald Trump. Are you kidding me, man? And you know, he's so caught up in his own hubris that he has Trump to be his vice president. I love that part. That was just one of the most, you know, and Trump started screaming at him. Only a brother could bring out a response like that from a maniac like Donald Trump. That's too funny for me, though. But hey, listen, guys, what you and Rob done is just tremendous, man. I just wish I could come, more people would be aware of this podcast and would contribute to it and be a part of it. And thank you for letting me show.
Appreciate what's been said, if I understand correctly. And one, thank you, Ronnie. And I know you're doing with Arkansas. You're down there
with one of my best friends.
Yeah. You're down there with one of my best friends, Brother Sidney. I got a chance to talk to him.
Yeah, you know, I took him to dinner on his birthday. Yeah.
Yeah, that was beautiful. Mm-hmm. And appreciate what you said about Kyrie and about Kanye West, yay. But you know, I have a different take to a certain degree. Do you think there's anybody beyond criticism?
No.
So people can criticize other people.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you got to deal with the consequences.
Consequences, that's the key.
Ain't no problem with that. No problem with that. A lot of people paid the price. Some people died. Like you said, we couldn't do a lot of things when we were young. But people before us was fighting so we could get the opportunity to do things.
Absolutely. Yeah, exactly.
Even though they had laws against us doing it, there was lynchings, there was intimidation. But still, people were fighting for us to be treated right and have equal human rights as well as civil rights. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct.
Okay, I just wanted to. Now, you said people can criticize people. And they got to deal with the consequence. You know, people criticize, you know, if you criticize your mama, you can get spanked, and you criticize your daddy. When you're young, you can get spanked. So, those are the consequences. You criticize. Be critical of your teacher, you can get an F.
Yep.
And that's it. But even though that's what some people will retaliate, that doesn't justify them saying that you have no right to criticize me. You see what I'm saying?
I mean,
okay, so when I look at Kyrie, he didn't say the things that was on the video. He just sent it out, tweeted it. It was mostly about Black history, really. There were parts in it that was critical, but he wasn't starring in it. Is that correct?
And he acknowledged he didn't even watch the whole thing.
Yeah. Even if he did, it doesn't mean he wasn't on there.
Mm.
You know, and so he just tweeted it. A lot of people tweet things. I get articles all the time. I send them to Rasha Key, I send them to Linda, I send them to different people all the time. You know, I see an article. I just sent Rasha Key an article about Black reparations in California. You know, just a minute. Let me call you right back. I'm on Zoom. Okay. And then second, so criticism is okay, but then Kanye, even though people don't want to give him credit for having mental problems, his former wife and his behavior way before he did these things, jumping up on the stage, snatching the microphone from a white girl who probably was Jewish. You know, they didn't get on this case about that. But, you know, he you think he got Beyonce pregnant the way he started jumping and hollering when she announced she was pregnant backstage and saying that. They had a video on him. And when she announced it, he was sitting next to Jay-Z and he's jumping all over the place, clapping and stuff. So, you know, like you say, go up to Trump. But he ain't the only black person to support Trump. Clarence Thomas' wife and Clarence Thomas have said things and done things, institutionalized laws, supported, voted for laws to take away rights that we had earned in the court. You see, his wife, you understand, but at the same time, it's very little that we could, that some people could do about that. Even other federal judges said, well, we don't have no moral code. So why wouldn't you have a moral code? Because you ain't moral. That's why.
And it's called a lifetime appointment.
Well, I'm not even dealing with that. I'm just dealing with that, holding him accountable for his behavior. Yeah. There's no mechanism.
None.
They're unaccountable.
Totally.
You see? So he can get away with what he's doing. You know what I'm saying? Now, they could impeach him.
Ain't going to happen.
Wow. I said they could.
Yeah.
But they don't. Yeah. When it comes down to Kyrie, the guy that owned Amazon,
Jeff Bezos,
the video is based on a book. The book was number one on Amazon. Then they put it on the movie. They the ones that produced the movie. The guy had only had $8,000 and they made it number one movie. Must see. But they ain't talking about we need to boycott Amazon and take their money. See, we're vulnerable. The only reason they're doing what they're doing to Kyrie and Kanye is because they're black and they don't have no structures as you laid out. And we don't have those type of powers. Because if we had a nuclear bomb, they wouldn't say nothing. But because we don't have no those things. So therefore they can come down on us. They didn't come down on Charlottesville. On what they were saying, Jews ain't going to replace us. They didn't say, let's shut down that state for letting them march like that. Or at college, but they can get on us. We have a tendency, some black people, they criticize themselves. They'll criticize Latinos. They'll criticize Chinese. But when it comes to criticizing that Caucasian, oh, no, I ain't gonna do that. Why? Because they have a history of lynching, bombing, killing, raping, destroying. And we pay the price. So all I'm saying is that most black people can care less what Kyrie say or what Kanye say. Most black people. They're trying to live with their lives, pay bills, take their kids to school, do the things they got to do. It's only the news media, which is controlled by white people who say they do. They say they do, but They ain't the Jews of the Bible. They wouldn't be doing what they're doing to the Palestinians. They wouldn't be doing what they're doing to Kyrie or them if they were Jews of the Bible. Now, we Joe Henrich can tell you about the origin of the Jewish from the Hyksos people and all that. Dr. Benden wrote about it. John Henry Clark. Dr. Ben said that, you know, the first people that practiced the Hebrew faith was Black people. Yosef Ben Israel, who just passed, may the best may be remembered for all the good he brought in the world. Yosef Ben Israel, I met him out of Compton. I met him in D.C. and we hung out. He took a delegation to Israel, and they mistreated him. Right now, the Jewish people that they took from Ethiopia, they won't let them be a part of Israel and let them vote or let them. And they were in Sudan and Ethiopia practicing the Jewish faith better than these Caucasians. But I'm not going to get into all that. I'm going to get back to my point. There's other things that we have to come to grips with as an African people. When you say what the mistreatment of Africans on the continent of Africa, well, who put them brothers in office and who assassinated the ones that wouldn't do what they say? Why did they? What happened to Patrice Lumumba? What happened to Jomo Kenyatta? What happened to Hades and all those leaders? Because the European has been disrupting their political systems. They got the military, they got the power. They come as missionaries, mercenaries, and Marines. I think you get my point on that. But the beautiful thing is that, and I appreciate your scholarship and your perspective. And I have no problem with it, because I think you made some excellent points. I just want to say that this wouldn't even be an issue when and as I conclude, Dr. Khalid Muhammad went down to a little small town in Virginia somewhere, I forget. It was about 30 people was in the audience that he spoke to. When he said, we need to look up under the Pope robe and see what's going on. Only 30 people. Ted Koppel put it on Nightline. Now, 300 million people didn't see it. What these Jewish people are doing is two things. Making money off of this. Making money. Fundraising. Just like Trump, them do fundraising out of fear. That's all this is about. Fundraising. Soon as they monopolized the Holocaust like they the only one that had it. The Native American lost way more. You ask the average person how many Jewish people were killed. They say 6 million. Then you ask them how many Africans been killed during the Holocaust of enslavement. They don't know. How many Native Americans were killed in the so-called manifest destiny God gave told us to do this? They can't tell you. But they do know how many Jewish people been killed. And I'm not saying they shouldn't know. And I'm not saying it's wrong to know. But I'm just trying to say you can't dominate the word Holocaust when other people, right now, there's over 100 million people in Somalia facing famine, facing death from starvation and change of weather and the sun and all of that, where America can send billions of dollars to Ukraine. But all of a sudden, when it comes down to these Ethiopians and these Somalians, they ain't got no money. when the Crips wanted to make peace, when Russia wanted to make peace with each other because they was going through a struggle with each other, America sent money and support for them to have peace. But when the Crips and Bloods wanted to make peace, they didn't send a dime. I'm just telling you, it's a contradiction. People have the right to criticize whoever they want. But I don't let the oppressor be our teacher. He can't tell me to dislike my brother for criticizing him. Because they don't talk about the role of those people who claim to be Jewish during the Holocaust of enslavement. Where did Amsterdam become New York? They don't talk about the financing of the Holocaust of enslavement. They don't talk about the abuse of Black people that Israel rolled in support in South Africa during the apartheid system. You can't criticize them for that. You know, you're racist then. But I take your point. Yeah, bro, you should have been smarter. You know, let somebody else tweet it. You know, you have enough money to pay somebody to tweet it. Kanye just don't even know who he is. He changed his name every damn year. You understand? So, what's the point in even giving him any credibility except for to make money?
There you go.
That's all they're doing. They're making so much money, they told Kanye, we don't even want your $5 million. You understand? Until you apologize to us and do this and do that. And I don't think he did all those things. But I don't know. You understand? I did know that he's a strong brother. And, to me, he went to Sister Claire Muhammad School in New York, wrote them a check for $60,000 on the right there, the oldest independent Black school in the city of New York. So, like you say, he do some good things. And, you know, he's a Muslim with the Nation of Islam.
Mm-hmm.
And so, therefore, you know, most of his actions is based on him being in the nation. What happened to religious freedom? What happened to religious freedom? When Jimmy Carter was going to a church that had in their doctrine, don't let Black people in it. And the brother went down there and exposed it. Andrew Young, Coretta Scott Young, defended Jimmy Carter. You understand? He's running for president. I give up. And then it's about being young. I was 16 when I had my first participation in armed rebellion in 1965. I was in 11th grade in high school. And that introduced me to the movement. So some of us young was doing it. I don't know how to wake up and see a bunch of white people in the neighborhood. I'd go crazy somebody, you know, I ain't saying it won't happen, but, I like where I live in Compton. You know, me and the Latinos, most of the brothers and sisters, some of them didn't move, but I'm still here, holding out. You understand? Because, you know, I could have moved, I could commit class suicide. I could have went to Orange County. But I chose to be here, to live with the people, where the struggle began, Watson, Compton. But I ain't mad at the people that moved. You know, yeah, they had it right. There's a lot of reasons people move, not just because they want to be around white people, they're tired of the violence, they're tired of the drugs. But who's putting the drugs and the guns in the community?
It ain't enough.
Yeah, all right. That's all I got to say, Roger. Sante, son.
That was good, Ronnie. That was beautiful. Wonderful. I'm going to go to the panel and see if they have something. We're going to call it a night. It's been beautiful. Brother Joe, you have anything?
Happy second anniversary.
Appreciate it. Hey, it's your anniversary too. It's all of it. We all together on this. Brother Joe, anything? I wonder what happened to Joe. Brother Mashinda, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Anything before we get out of here?
Well, you know, again, happy anniversary. You know, appreciate our guests tonight again coming on. You know, like I say, appreciate his point of view. You know, he wrapped it up in a nutshell. Some things, you know, I might disagree with, or and not so much disagreement. It just, I guess, it probably more or less calls for more of a debate, or just, you know, education, you know, educating each other, or he educating me, or me putting him on point on some things, you know, but, you know, not a criticism at all. I just know, you know, the brothers like Kyrie Irving and Kanye West, I've never been a big fan of Kanye West in terms of music. You know, he does appear to project confusion. But, you know, sometimes people wake up, you know, they're evolving. So through that evolution, you know, they're still projecting confusion until they come full circle. Maybe, you know, 2 years from now, 5 years from now, you know, he might, you know, see the light and project himself on another level. As far as Kyrie Irving, you know, I think Kyrie Irving's an intelligent brother. I don't think the European education system that we're subjected to tells all the truth. I believe the brother is educated on different levels. I'm sure he's constantly pursuing a higher understanding. I respect that with him. You know, I must say that the so-called Jew, the white Jew, or whatever you want to call it, has always defended themselves. You know, as far as controlling the media, it's no question, you know, that the so-called white Jew in America controls the media. So that means that, you know, so a lot of narratives are controlled, or, you know, people are silenced because they want to make their money, you know. So it's like, hey, it's like, you'll shut up and dribble, that comment from a lot of things, you know. So I'm saying this, that they got a brother named, he's passed away now, Dr. Tony Martin, who was a professor at an elite women's college. They call it an elite women's college. Hillary Clinton, Cokie Roberts, Diane Sawyer, to name a few. A lot of elite, so-called elite media people went to Wellesley College. And, Dr. Martin, a brother, was a teacher. He spoke out on the Jewish involvement in the slave trade. He caught hell. Dude was a tenured professor or about to get his tenure. Anyway, I went and saw him speak, got a signed copy of his book, but he's one of the authorities, like Dr. Ben, Dr. Clark, you know, all the different guys that do research. I think that they're fairly intelligent people. And so what happens is Khalid Mohammed, Farrakhan, the minority leader that just been took Nancy Pelosi's place, Hakeem Jeffries' uncle, Leonard Jeffries, called hell, you know. And this New York City College, University or whatever, these are scholars, graduated from Columbia University, speaking out on the piracy and the ill effects of other people that try to hold other people back. You know, so it's an ongoing situation, learning process. But I just wanted to say that as far as Tim Scott goes, you know, I'm not a fan of Mitch McConnell. You know, I'm down here in the South. McConnell is well, but if you don't know who Mitch McConnell is, you know, they might want to find out. You know, brother Tim Scott voted 94% with Mitch McConnell up until this point. You know, I don't know. It's a lot going on. Like I say, it's a lot going on. But anyway, I appreciate the platform, the guests, and everybody speaking. Have a good night. I'm done.
All right, brother Mashinda. Sister making it happen.
Greetings, greetings. Congratulations. Happy anniversary. Great debate, great topic, great discussion. And yeah, those young men have been on everyone's platform, been talking about them everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. And again, we got to just make sure we stay focused on what's really important. And so we don't get just sidetracked and off, you know, sent off into some place that misled and led astray. We need to stay focused on what's really important and pay attention to your family and your children and take care of yourselves and your health. So again, congratulations and keep up the good work.
All right, then, sister.
Likewise, sister, making it happen. Likewise. All right, Sister Linda.
No, I don't have anything to contribute except this was good this evening, and I'm looking forward to continuing the journey with us.
All right. Appreciate you. Appreciate everybody. Next week, we have Dr. Charles Alexander. He's a licensed clinical psychologist, so that should be very interesting. So I'm going to interview him. So that'll be good. Looking forward to that. Professor Rob, we got anybody for Monday?
Yeah, we're going to continue that. I was going to go over the Kwanzaa issues again. Kwanzaa.
Okay.
There's a lot left out because we didn't have the time. But I want to deal with how you light the candles, what candles you light first, and why do they do the candles, and all those type things. So we're going to deal with that.
Okay, excellent. We're going to get into Kwanzaa on Monday. All right, folks, it's been real. Appreciate it. Yeah.
All right.
So each one teach one. Uh-oh, sister making it happen. Go ahead.
I was just clapping, giving you a clap.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, give us a clap. You know, it's us.
Yep. Give us a clap. Give the platform a round of applause.
Yes. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you. All right, folks. So each one teach one and
constantly. I'm probably really just send you. I say hello and let's call. I'll get your number from Rasha Key and call you. And you know, all right.
All right, everybody. Have a good evening. See you soon.
All right. Peace.